Again, it is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. Our guest is Dima. Dima has friends and family in Syria. And I think listeners this show know we've been trying to call attention to the reality of Syria today, because basically the story has been told here that there's a new leader and it's going to be a reform government, and that the West is quite happy with the new strongman, I guess you could call him, Shara. But let's go to Dima. Are you there, Dima?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you so for having me.
Well, I'd be really glad to be talking to you. Now, I know you've been talking about or been aware of crimes against minorities in coastal Syria. Mm-hmm. Can you provide us with some context to what's actually taking place here?
Absolutely. So in cities like Latakia, Tartus, Jable, Banias, Homs and Hama, there were coordinated and systematic operations targeting minorities, communities, particularly Alawite civilians. We've reviewed hundreds of firsthand testimonies. These killings were not accidental or incidental. They were deliberate. The perpetrators used sectarian slurs, hunted down entire families, and employed jihadist rhetoric to justify mass executions. This is no longer a political uprising. It's ethnic and sectarian cleansing masked as a revolutionary change.
Revolutionary change, yes. What can you tell us about the... they say there's a fact-finding committee. Apparently the government was a little bit alarmed that people were noticing these murders, so they said they had a fact-finding committee. What is that about?
Yeah, so we're actually asking... who are the members of this committee? Mm-hmm. And are they truly qualified? Because unfortunately, many of them are former fighters with extremist groups, including Al-Qaeda affiliates under Al-Jolani's leadership, mm-hmm. of which Al-Shara was a part. This is called committee lacks objectivity, credibility, and the professional experience required for such sensitive investigations. Mm-hmm. It's actually even worse. We doubt they'll investigate. So we better ask who gave the orders, who approved the mass mobilization from the Ministry of Defense and military command. And will they dare to look into the mock sermons that incited genocide against Alawites or Nusayris, as they were referred to? Mm-hmm. We've seen documented video footages taken and posted by those terrorists themselves. So dozens of mosques recordings also recorded and posted on social media by them, the same group, calling for Alawite extermination. So the beginning of the whole massacres on March 7th, these words turned into action. So hundreds of armed vehicles filled with foreign and local fighters surged into Alawite majority areas. Those fighters were from Egypt, Chechnya, Afghanistan, and Syria, including HTS and the Ministry of Defense fighters carried out executions after simply asking, are you Alawite? If the answer was yes, they were killed. So these are crimes against humanity. This is clearly a genocide.
Mm-hmm. There's other disturbing things. The government's led by somebody who's... They had this position about attacking Alawites all along, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we nobody even knew what's going to happen, mm-hmm. because there were even gestures that misled the Alawite community into believing peace was possible. So this new what's called the president. When he took control and he put himself in this position, there were no warning signs. They were actually the Alawites were asked to surrender their lives, light arms.
Yes,
and they did. Of reconciliation, mm-hmm. but once the violence began, they had no way to defend themselves. The trust they placed in the authorities was exploited, and that cost them their lives.
That's a terrible situation. What is the current reality on the ground in the coastal region?
Well, the situation is very bad. It's catastrophic. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights has reported over 1,000 civilian deaths with the first week of March alone. Thousands have fled, many seeking shelter in Lebanon, in Hmeymeen Air Base, where Russian troops are deployed. And today, the violence continues. We see daily killings, but many go unreported. So the HSTS commanders have instructed their fighters to leave their phones behind to avoid generating viral footages that might prompt international outrage. And eyewitnesses describe how mass militants burst into homes, abduct men, and execute them outside. This is now a methodical campaign of fear and extermination. And unless the coastal region, Homs and Hama, are placed under international protection, this will not stop. Because now Syrians are in a big prison. If these people who are under threat in the coastal cities and parts of Homs and Hama are allowed to leave to another country, they will be a real-life testimony on the massacre and the genocide of al-Jolani's crimes. And this will expose what has been plotted against the Alawites and other minorities in Syria without fearing the threats of being killed for their testimonies. Hmm. So people who took shelter in Hmeymeen Air Base prefer to live in open areas with the sky as their cover to being threatened and killed by terrorist groups. Because if they decide to leave the air base, mm-hmm. as actually a couple of incidents took place when some families left the air base to go back to their homes, mm-hmm. their bodies were found on the side of the street. So there's no safety mm-hmm. in leaving the air base.
So let us talk about that how daily life is impacted for the residents, especially your own family.
Yeah, people there live in fear. My family only leaves the house for urgent needs. They never stray far from the neighborhood. And even when the sun sets, those cities turn into ghost towns. But unfortunately, the killings don't wait for night. The killings happen in broad daylight. The violence is not targeting political figures or regime remnants as they claimed. It's purely about identity, being Alawite. Fighters are seizing homes, cars, shops, jewelry, and even personal belongings. And families know they may be killed. Yet they stay because there is nowhere to run. Where do they go? Many Alawites have also been dismissed from their jobs. And now those jobs are filled by individuals from Idlib, often unqualified because they're aligned with HTS. It's a campaign of social and economic erasure.
Well, this must be very tough for children. How are the Alawite children and young people coping with this?
They are broken emotionally and mentally. They've seen their peers, their family members killed simply for who they are. Many of them are too afraid to attend school. They don't go to school. And because their identity becomes a death sentence, how do you build a future? Mm-hmm. They have a heavy trauma now. They ask themselves questions such as, why are we being punished for being born this way? What did we do wrong? Those children are growing up surrounded by grief and fear. So there's no safety in there. They're afraid of being abducted or whatever kind of terrorist attacks would happen on them.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because many of them are killed, as we have seen.
Well, we of course hear the story is that al-Shara has changed since he was an al-Qaeda leader openly mm-hmm. and with ISIS. Do you agree about that?
I don't agree that he has changed, because a clean shave and a suit do not erase one's ideology. Al-Jolani, now known as Al-Shara, may have changed his appearance, but not his belief, because his strategy has evolved, yes, but his core convictions remain the same. He hasn't renounced violence. He has simply repackaged it.
Hmm. Well, you've spoken about Al-Jolani, Al-Shara. The situation for Alawites and other minorities in Syria's coastal regions has worsened. Can you elaborate on the conditions, especially in terms of movement restrictions and reported enslavement of women and girls?
Oh, yeah, that's a big issue there. So under the former regime of Bashar al-Assad, Alawites lived in what could be described as a controlled or monitored custody. While their rights were limited, they still had access to movement. All major border points with Lebanon, Turkey, Jordan, and Iraq remained open. And many Syrians, including minorities, were able to flee the country through internationally recognized passages. That's why we saw large numbers of Syrian refugees, and now they're living in neighboring countries, and even went abroad and resettled in Europe and North America. However, under Al-Jolani and now Al-Shara, the situation has become dramatically worse. Because Alawites and other minorities in the coastal regions, Latakia, Tartus, parts of Homs and Hama, are now completely trapped. There are no safe exits. All the roads are either militarized or controlled by FTS-linked forces. The intent is to convert these areas into closed zones of extermination. So it's not just a security lockdown. It's a methodical form of ethnic and sectarian cleansing. Alawite men are being targeted for execution. Women and girls are being abducted, enslaved, and subjected to sexual violence. Women are being forced into domestic servitude. They use them as sex slaves or pushed into so-called jihad and nikah. And that's a practice these extremist groups exploit to legitimize rape and forced marriages under the banner of religious justification. We've seen and received testimonies from survivors and witnesses who describe the systematic kidnappings.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wholesale violation of international humanitarian law, human dignity, and women's rights.
Mm-hmm. There's a all this testimony points to kind of a problem that, and I guess I'd ask you to elaborate. It must be frustrating that the story you're telling, which is I know is being corroborated by thousands of people, it is underreported here. I'd like to know your thought about that.
Underreported. Yes, that's true. Because the problem is the media is dealing with it as a different story. The media is not even mentioning that there is a Holocaust. This genocide is and those atrocities are not even mentioned the way they should. Unfortunately, even Arab media channels are not reporting anything at all. They even say the opposite stories, that we don't see any mention of any killings or anything. The only thing they mention, oh, those are the remnants of the old regime. For God's sake, would the baby or the kid or the girl who are under 18 would be remnants of the old regime? That's even, or women. This is not, or like, because in Syria, if a lonely child, like a male child, live in the family, they don't ask the child to go to the military service. They are killing those only children. Like, they are the only child for their family. How is this person a remnant of or served in the military? That doesn't make sense.
No.
And when you see like all those people coming with their shouts saying that go kill Alawites and you'll gain heaven or whatever, that's really ridiculous. It's not something that those media outlets should mention.
Yeah.
That's really ridiculous and nonsense.
And of course, you're calling for international, the proper bodies, we have the United Nations, to step in to guarantee the security of the people of the coastal regions, particularly of Syria.
We actually want the international protection. We need a committee that should be neutral. So neutral international committee that doesn't have any relation with the new government, mm-hmm. and who can visit the coastal line and homes in Hamaha where those genocide happened, and to act independently and interview the families affected by these massacres and investigate thoroughly with no intervention and interference from the current government in Syria. Because once they interfere, we know all those true stuff will go under the table. Yeah. Nobody would hear anything about what happened in there. Mm-hmm. So the international protection is a must.
Yeah. Well, Dima, we're very grateful you've taken the time and it's to give us this information. It is absolutely horrible situations unfolding there, and we're so glad we could talk to you, and we hope we can talk to you in the future.
Thank you so much for having me. Highly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Dima is our guest. This is the Taylor Report. That story is very important. I do hope people will follow this and not be deluded with all this nonsense about how there's been a wonderful transformation, and now we go from a man being a terrorist to we're being told a Democrat overnight. And of course, his big visit, most recent, is to one of the kingdoms of the Gulf. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. We're going to have a little music, and we'll be back. And later in the show, we're going to talk to Tony Leo.